Well, we're talking about beautiful moments. We're talking about the beautiful moments that happen leading up to that Friday, to where that Jesus eventually gives his life, that he's crucified, he sheds his blood, he literally dies, buried on the third day, he rises from the dead. I mean, all those are beautiful moments when we can look back and we can see the great work that God has done. But leading up to those events, there are some beautiful moments that happen, is what is referred to as the Passion Week. And so the week leading up to that Easter weekend is referred to the Passion Week. And there's so many things that happen. There's so many things that take place. So many beautiful things that we could pull from out Scripture, and we could begin to look at and dissect and talk about and preach about and begin to apply to our lives. But we picked out a couple of things, and I hope that they serve you well. And I pray that God would encourage you. I pray that God would challenge you in a very real and mighty way. And so our theme verse for these next 2 weeks is going to be in Matthew chapter 20, and it's going to be in verse 17. Now, here's what it says. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, that's what we want to do, all right? He says he was going up to Jerusalem. What we want to do in these next 2 weeks is we want to take the journey, and we want to be diving into God's word. We want to be diving into Scripture, and we want to be reminded of the fact of how much God loved us and how much God did for us, that while we were yet sinners, that he was willing to send his son to eventually go to the cross and die for our sin, not because he had done anything wrong, not because it was everybody had a conspiracy against him. Jesus said that I laid down my life and I do it willingly. Nobody takes my life from me. I mean, that's when you think about the God of the universe loved you and I so much in that way that he was willing to eventually give his own life, suffer greatly at the hands of the Romans and being crucified on the cross so that our sin could be forgiven. Man, you talk about a great, incredible love that absolutely blows you away. That's it right there. The reason that we know to love, the reason that we can understand what little bit of love is about, is because of the love of Jesus. And I pray that we would take that journey up to Jerusalem. And I pray that we would be reminded. I pray that when we think about and we remember the cross, that we would stand in awe that it was our sin, your sin, my sin, that Jesus died for. Even before we were even born, he loved us so much that he was willing to do that. And I pray that it would just bring you to a state of worship. I pray that it would just bring you to a sense of awe of God's grace and God's goodness and mercy. And it says, now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen. And so he pulls his 12. These guys, we see that Jesus is not doing life alone, that he's investing in other people. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a few moments, but he's not doing life alone. He's invested. He's been spending time with these 12 guys. They've been following him around in his ministry. I mean, there's been some incredible things that have happened and taken place. They've seen many miracles. They've seen people raised from the dead. They've seen people who are crippled walk. They've seen people who were blind be able to see. And Jesus is getting ready to tell them. He's wanting them to understand that, hey, listen, there's going to be some changes taking place. Like, we've been enjoying the journey. We've been enjoying the ride. We've been enjoying the popularity. Everybody, everywhere that Jesus went and his disciples came in, people flocked to them. People wanted to be around them. And he says, listen, I want to prepare you for some things, because life is about to take a turn. And it's about to get difficult. And it's about to get hard. And you're not going to understand everything. But I want you to be aware. I don't want you to be caught off guard. I don't want you to be taken by surprise. And so he pulls them and he says, listen, there's some things that are about to happen. He said, listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and they will sentence him to die. And he said, listen, it's going to change drastically for you. It's going to change drastically for me. And so I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. And I want you to understand. But don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be flogged. And I'm going to be crucified. But on the third day, I'm going to be raised to life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for resurrection power. Amen? I'm grateful for the fact that God was able to forgive us, to save us, to redeem us, restore us through the death, burial, and the resurrection. If Jesus hadn't resurrected from the dead, the cross would not mean anything. Good Friday would mean nothing. It would just mean another dude was crucified by the Romans. But the fact that Jesus was raised to life on the third day, that he was raised from the dead, means you and I have forgiveness. You and I are part of the family of God. And that grace can sustain us. It equips us. It restores us. It renews us. And when we think about that, that is a huge, beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment when you came to the understanding that you needed Jesus and you experienced his saving grace. That's a beautiful moment. That the resurrection power still saves people's lives today. Let me tell you something. We talked about inviting friends and things of that nature. There's probably people in your community, probably people at your workplace, probably people that maybe you live across the street from, and people have maybe said, and maybe other people have said, maybe you've even thought this, but listen, there's just no hope for that particular person. There's no hope. They're probably going to be that way for the rest of their life. When pigs fly, you know, they'd give their life to Christ. Listen, the resurrection power can change any heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of God's grace. And when we think about that, and when we share that, man, there is power in that. It's not in your eloquence of speech that things happen, that things take place. It's not how well you can present the gospel. But when you present it, you do it in the power, and you do it in the grace, and you do it in the spirit of love through God's hand and direction in your life. That's what Paul said. I didn't come to you with eloquent speech, but I came to you in the power of God. And listen, it's not a matter about having the Roman road memorized to where that you can sell somebody a timeshare in heaven. Like at the end of the day, they're signing the contract, right? You talked them in to go into glory, right? It's not anything like that. But it's when God gets a hold of people's hearts that he changes and he molds us and he shapes us. Amen? God can do that. God can restore that. So don't give up. I don't care if you've asked somebody 1,000 times. Ask them 1,001. It may be the very one time. It may be the very invite that changes somebody's course and direction for the rest of their life. Now, what we're going to talk about here in this other passage as we look at this beautiful moment at the beginning of Passion Week, we're going to call it the big reveal. And we're going to look in Mark chapter 11, if you got your Bibles there, or you can follow along on screen. Or if you have your phone, if you can pull it up, I don't know if you have signal here or not, but if you have the YouVersion app, there's something that you can do. If you open up your app on YouVersion and you go down to the bottom, if you're looking at the screen, it's the bottom right tab, you click on that, and there's events. It'll come up on your left. You want to click that, and it should say Milestone Church, Morgan County. And you can click on that. And it will show you today's scripture. It's got little notes. There's also, you can submit prayer requests on there, the graphics on there for the series and all that kind of stuff. It lasts for about 7 days after the service is over. So if you need to go back and reflect and refer to, there's a place where you can take notes. So if you're a note taker, you can take those notes and then you can email it to yourself so that you have those forever. And so it's just a great tool and resource. One of the ways that we want to help serve you and help equip you to be able to follow along and grow together. Now, look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad that you're here. Now, look at your second choice this morning and say, hey, look, you look like you could use a beautiful moment. All right. So let's look at God's word as we begin to dive into this thing of beautiful moments. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, calling this the big reveal. It may seem like a mundane passage of scripture, but when you really begin to dive into this passage, it's real deep. And there's a lot of things that we can pull from it. There's a lot of things that we can see. There's a lot of things that we can benefit. And my prayer for you today is that God would use it to help grow and mold and shape your faith in a stronger way than it's ever been before. Now, it says this, that the next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard it. Listen to what Jesus says. And he tells them, he said, in the latter part of the scripture, he says, the next day they seen this and they heard him say it. And in the morning, they, as they went along, they saw the fig tree. The next morning, after Jesus had said that, they had heard Jesus say that, hey, listen, may no one ever eat of your fruit again. And in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you have cursed has withered. Now, after all that happened and after all that had taken place, Jesus said something very, very simple. There's so many things that we can learn from this. There's so many things that we can talk about this. So many beautiful moments throughout the course of the Passion Week. But I love the principle that Jesus is teaching here in this particular passage, because he said this. This was his response to Peter. He said, have faith in God. Think about that for a moment. It's kind of a weird response. Like when I first read it, I thought, like, that's kind of an odd response. Like he didn't give Peter any explanation. He didn't give Peter like any other detail. He just made a simple statement. Have faith in God. They heard Jesus curse this fig tree and say, may anyone ever eat of your fruit again. The next morning they walk by and see that the tree has withered, and Peter points it out, and Jesus tells Peter, listen, you need to have faith in God. In other words, here's the principle that Jesus was teaching. He said, listen, you need to have a deep-rooted faith in God. You and I, not only did that was applicable for the disciples on this day, but it's something that you and I need to hold on to. It's just not an outward faith that looks the part, because Jesus looked at this tree. This tree seemed to have fruit. He was out in the morning. He left. He was hungry. You know, you've had those mornings where you've left and you didn't eat breakfast. You had those mornings like, and you just get hungry, right? I know here in Morgan County, you know, everybody has those plant-based vegan smoothies that they drink, you know, before they go to work or whatever. If you do that, God help you. But if you roll with me and my crew, right, we're going up to Chick-fil-A and we're getting our chicken minis on, right? You know, that's what we do and that's how we roll. Or a biscuit. Anybody like biscuits, right? Biscuits and gravy, like maybe you go to Hardee's or something along those lines. I know it's the Oak Ridge people that drink those vegan plant smoothies, and I get on them all the time over there. But, you know, we think about that. You know, Jesus, he left, he hadn't eaten. And he looks at this tree and he said, man, there's going to be some figs on that. And I'm sure he's thinking about fig preserves, because he was going to put it on a biscuit, because Jesus was from the southern part of Jerusalem and it was a custom that they had biscuits there, right? Now, don't quote me on that, but I've just got to imagine that was probably the case. God preordained biscuits and gravy and things of that nature, right? Those things make you healthy, right? I mean, I didn't get like this by chance right here. There's a lot of beans and taters and cornbread and anything else that you put in front of me. I will eat it. But Jesus walked away and he's very, very hungry. And this tree gives this assumption, gives this appearance. And he tells them, he said, listen, here's what I want to teach you. I want you to have faith in God. I want you to have a deep-rooted faith, a faith that is growing deep, and a faith that is branching out and producing fruit. He says, I want this fruit from your life. I want something to take place. And man, I begin to think about that. Isn't it amazing the potential that God sees in us as people? Isn't it amazing that God sees the potential of what could be and what should be in our life, that he wants something to take place? That he sees in us more than what we see in ourselves. And it's amazing when we begin to look at other people how often we don't see the potential in other people. We only see what we see. But God sees something greater. Let me give you an Old Testament example. Look at a young man named David. When everybody else seen a shepherd boy, God seen a king. And he was going to raise him up. When everybody else seen a scoundrel, God seen a man that he was going to birth, and the 12 tribes of Israel were going to come from by a man by the name of Jacob. God used, in spite of all their inefficiencies, in spite of all their sins, their shortcomings and failures, that God uses people. And when we have a deep-rooted faith in him, man, we can experience and we can bear fruit and we can experience the good things that God wants to do in our life. When God decides to do something in your life, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter if anybody says there's nothing good that will ever come out of your home. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe people in the community thought there's nothing that will ever take place that's any value, that's any worth for the kingdom in your life. Maybe the people said that you're unqualified, that you're unequipped, but God put a vision, God put a mission, God put something in your heart, and he's called you to step out. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If God didn't say it, it doesn't matter. Now, you better make sure that we hear from God. We better make sure, because a lot of times, here's how we roll and here's what we do. God, I'm going to do this and you're going to bless it. And your vision and your mission may not be God's vision and mission and direction for your life. So whenever you are led, you better make sure that it's the voice of God. Weigh it. A lot of times, the majority of the time, God will ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with doing. But when we follow his direction, we get to experience his power. And Jesus said, listen, I want you to have a deep-rooted life. I know that there's some things that can take place. I know that there's some things that can come about. But one of the things is that this tree, this fig tree, it was a poser. It appeared to have fruit, but it had no fruit. It's like, kind of like the way I can explain it is like, this tree had all outfit and no game. Let me explain what I'm talking about, because some of you may not understand that term. That's how we used to say it back in the day. Maybe some of you people, like your kids play, anybody's kids play AAU basketball, or, you know, you go, okay, a couple people. All right, so this is not going to apply to everybody, but maybe you know somebody that goes to that. I'm going to tell it anyway. But it's like this. You take your kids, or maybe you're coaching a team, and you walk into the gym, and you look and you see the other team. And they've got this one kid. And I mean, man, he looks the part. I mean, he's got some fresh new socks on, some Nike Elites. He's got the newest LeBrons on. I mean, he's got the best shorts that you can wear. He's got the jersey, right? He's even got the headband. And he's tall. And he might even have some muscles. I mean, he looks the part. And you look at that boy and you say, man, that kid can play. And you're afraid and you're scared to death. Right? Hey, we're going to get killed by this team. And you go out there and you start playing, and the kid can't catch. He can't even walk and run at the same time. Like, he was all outfit and no game, right? All outfit. He was dressed the part, but he didn't have any goods, right? He didn't have the product, right? What he was showing and his appearance was communicating wasn't what actually is. And Jesus said, this is some lessons that we can learn from the fig tree. It was dressed for the part, but it didn't have any game. It wasn't producing any fruit. Now, here's the correlation for us today. It's because there's many times in our life where we look the part, and we talk the part, and we act the part, and we say amen, and we do our little religious activity, but there's no substance. There's no fruit. Do you know that you can be religious and not know Jesus? Do you know that you can do all the things that there is to do at church, and they will be good things that you are doing, but you know that good things will lead you straight to hell without the grace and the goodness of Jesus? I know this is real talk this morning, okay? I know this is not popular. I know this is not like what, this is kind of up in your face, in your grill, and you're like, hey, listen, I'll be glad when Robert's gone this week, and we'll wait, you know, for the next 2 months before he comes, but I say that because, listen, Jesus is trying to share something with us. Now, this was a fig tree, and it was supposed to produce fruit. And as a Christ follower, you're planted in the family of God. We're to have a deep-rooted faith. And as we grow, the natural progression of what will happen in our life is fruit. Now, does that mean that everything, that we're going to do everything that we're supposed to do 100% of the time? No. This isn't about like, hey, I've got to earn something so that God's going to have favor on me, that God's going to bless me. God already loves you and I more than he's ever going to love you. There's nothing that you and I can do for God to love us more. I want you to understand that. I want you to get that. This is not about trying to earn something. This is about, listen, I'm deeply rooted in Jesus. Like, man, I am pursuing him. I am passionate about him. He is speaking into my life. I am in his word. Man, I can just sense and feel the presence of God. And I know that every day doesn't feel like that. Hey, there's some days that as a pastor, I'm like, God, where are you? Because I don't feel very close to you. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Anybody else had a difficult time? Anybody else gone through some stuff? Anybody else been through some trials? Anybody else had some shortcomings in life? Like, God, I don't feel close to you. It doesn't mean that I'm not God's child. It doesn't mean that I'm still not rooted and planted in his family. Because one thing that I've learned is my feelings will lead me astray. I have to be reminded of what is, not what I feel. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? And Jesus said, listen, I want you to be deeply rooted. And as you're deeply rooted in me, you're pursuing me. Man, I'm interacting and working in your life. Man, we're mindful of what God is doing around. We want to see God move. We're praying for God to move. We're believing for God to move. Listen, man, one of the greatest things that you can do for your campus pastor right here, your lead pastor, Chris, is that you can pray each and every day. And when you show up here, you come expecting God to move. Expect, believe. God's going to do something today. Because when a church is deeply rooted and planted in God's grace and goodness, great things happen. And Jesus said, listen, I want you to have a deep-rooted faith. A deep-rooted faith. And as you're deeply rooted in me, here's the natural progression. Guess what it is? He said, there will be fruit. There's going to be fruit. Now, there's three things real quick, okay? If you guys are with me, say, I am. If you like watching me hit this earpiece right here, say, I do. All right. I just thought I'd call it out because I know it's probably driving you crazy. It's driving me crazy right now. And I just drew a lot of attention to it. So anyway, very good. Great job, Robert. There's three things that we can learn from this fig tree. The first thing, one of the things that hindered its growth from producing fruit. The first thing that we see about this fig tree is that it was alone. It was alone. It was by itself. I've learned this the hard way. I've learned this the hard way, that it's hard to grow in Christ separated and isolated from God's people. There are no Christ followers that are called to be Lone Rangers. There's not. When you're isolated, when you isolate yourself and you alienate yourself on an island, there are no shared nutrients. This tree was all alone. It was all by itself. When I began to dive into this text and I began to research it a little bit more, man, there was something, I didn't know this, so I learned something. So maybe you already know this, maybe you don't know this, but we can all learn together. But when I began to research this passage, one of the things that I learned in one of the commentaries, it said that the best figs that you could eat were the ones that were grown in an orchard. And the reason being is that they were more vibrant, they were more healthy, they were just better. And the reason was because of the cross-pollination that would take place. Can I tell you something this morning? You need some cross-pollination of the cross in your life. Because when you get in a group and when you begin to talk about some things that, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this or I went through that, you know what? Somebody else in that group has went through that, has seen that, or maybe been through that, experienced that. God's redeemed them. God's restored them. God may have delivered them from addiction. God may have healed them. Man, you get strength and encouragement. There are shared nutrients among one another as Christ followers when we find ourselves in a group. But it blows me away as a church family how many people choose to live on an island. Choose to live on an island. And I hear things like this all the time. By the way, I'm in group. I want you to know that. So I'm not a pastor up here saying, listen, I'm telling you, you need to do something that I don't do myself. Because you know what? I need group. I need that. I need other godly people in my life. I need people to encourage me. I need people that I can be real with. I need people that I can share with. I need people in my life where I can say, hey, listen, this is what I'm struggling with, or this is what God is birthing in my heart and in my life. And man, people begin to cross-pollinate that, man, and God grows that, and my faith becomes stronger because of that. There are many times in my life to where that I have been carried by the prayers of other people. When I didn't feel like that I could go on, man, their prayers strengthened me and lifted me and encouraged me to keep doing what God had called me to do. Nobody is strong enough to do life alone. Nobody. And I hear all kinds of excuses. And listen, I'm not here to get on you today. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm just going to speak some truth to you, okay? And you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. Some real talk this morning, okay? You can make every excuse there is to do for not going. But I know this. We do what we value. We do what we value. You know what I do? What I value. Now listen, I'm here to tell you. This weekend, I went to 6 ball games. I've got one today after church. So I know about travel ball. I know about travel life. Hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's a lot of good things that come from that. We have practice through the week, but you know what? We value group. Maybe some of you could help start a group. Maybe some of you need to get connected in a group. Don't do life alone. You can grow in Christ better in a group. Plain and simple. This tree was all alone. Can I get an amen? Somebody say that's good preaching. All right, 2 people. All right, good deal. Here's the second thing that was a problem. It was the appearance. First thing was it was alone. The second hurdle that kept it from growing was its appearance. Everything was based on appearance. The tree had a lot of profession, but it didn't have any practice. That's why it's important to put your faith into practice. The Bible says to exercise your faith. James said it this way, faith without works is what? Dead. You show me a faith that has no works, I'll show you a faith that is dead. Now, works doesn't produce faith. But if you have faith, what James is saying, a byproduct of that, if you're growing and you're deeply rooted, is there will be works. There will be fruit that comes with that. It's a natural progression. That's why it's so important to find a place to be a part of what God's doing. I know we talk a lot about, you know, maybe finding a milestone team to serve in. There's other ways that you can serve outside of Sunday mornings. There's things that you can do within the community, but find a place and serve. Find a place to give of yourself. Find a place to where that you're pouring into others. Find a place to where that you're sharing the great things that God has done in your life. Don't just act and look the part, but live it out. Maybe you have an opportunity to share with somebody. I know a lot of times when we talk about sharing the gospel, we get a little bit weirded out about that. And a lot of times it's because we don't feel like that we really know what to share. Or I hear this all the time. Well, what if somebody asks me a question? I don't know. Here's what you do. You say, well, I don't know the answer to that. But let me tell you this. It's kind of like that passage in the New Testament where this guy had been blind and Jesus healed him and restored him, and the Pharisees and religious leaders brought him before them, and they said, listen, tell us how this happened. Tell this. Explain this to us. And here's what the guy said. I can't tell you how it happened, but all I know is that I was blind, but now I see. I can't lie about what I've experienced. See, when you share your faith, you share your story. That's your story. God did that in your life. Nobody can argue with that. This is how I was before I met Christ. When God saved me, he did this. And now here's the direction and the path that my life is on. He changed me. He saved me. When God saved me, man, he saved me. He changed some things about me. It had the appearance that it bared fruit, but there was no substance. The last thing was the fruit was absent. As I said a moment ago, if there's no fruit, there's no life. Fruit reproduces.
And I believe the prayer, this is what I prayed this week. Lord, I want to live a life where I spiritually reproduce. I don't want to spectate. I don't want to just get up and preach on a Sunday morning. But Lord, put people in my path. Give me wisdom. Let me have an open heart and an open mind. I want to participate in whatever you're doing. I want to know you more. I want to find freedom. I want you to be revealed in my life so that I can reveal you to others. So we've got obstacles for growth in our life as well. And so as we think about this beautiful moment, it really is a beautiful moment that Jesus was walking with the disciples. And he uses his hunger for a teaching moment. He looks at the fig tree. He sees that it bears no fruit. And he begins to instruct them, begins to teach them. And I believe it's beautiful and it's beneficial for us today. Because I believe the question is what does God want to do in our life? What are we settling less for? Because I know this. God wants to do so much more than sometimes what we allow in our own lives. So if Jesus looked at our life the same manner of the fig tree, it's just a question. This is not guilt-ridden, anything else. But what would he say? What would he say? I think it's important for us to take inventory. There are many days where that I have to get on my knees and I have to repent. Repent's not a bad word. It's a gift, really. To where that I can go before the Lord and I can ask him to forgive me with a sincere heart, with a genuine spirit. And the great thing about God's grace is that each and every time that I do that, he forgives and he restores and he renews. And he can do that in your life today.